Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate, and I happen to be at Fort Meade with a crowd of constitutionalists. And we're here this evening to report on the Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin court-martial. I apologize, I'm having computer problems, so the chat room is not open, so I think you're just going to have to listen to a bunch of us talk this evening. First, as you know, as John F. Kennedy said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. We've been on this stage for a long time. We've just completed a couple of exhausting days, more exhausting for Lieutenant Colonel Lakin than anything else. Just a brief recap, and I'm just not going to say anything about everything that happened today until we all have a chance to talk. But basically, yesterday, Lieutenant Colonel Lakin pleaded guilty to the first charges of disobeying orders. And the primary reason he had to do that is recall that Judge Lynn had removed his opportunity for any defense by eliminating the eligibility issue and by essentially telling Terry Lakin to get another defense. No discovery at all. So from that standpoint, there was really nothing that Terry could do. If he fought the charges, they would have thrown the book at him. So he basically pleaded guilty to those charges. The session yesterday was very interesting. The prosecution put on its case. I wrote about it in a blog post last night, meticulously trying to really work on this missing movement issue. So let me tell you, there are two charges, one with missing movement, the other, well, actually a bunch of charges, and the other was disobeying orders. The disobeying orders charge, upon pleading guilty to those charges, the judge walked through every aspect of those charges and made sure that Lieutenant Colonel Lakin understood the consequences of that. There were some of the charges were collapsed, and so the ultimate time that he could get for those charges would be 18 months. Now, he has not been sentenced yet. So whatever you hear about he's getting 18 months is not there. So at this point, I'd like to ask for a volunteer to join us. Anyone? Dave? Okay. Dave, yes. Welcome.
Yes,
this is Dr. Kate. This is Dave. Would you introduce yourself and let us know what you saw today?
Okay. Name's Dave. I'm from the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. What I saw today, let's see, in the morning, of course, was the prosecution rested yesterday. So this morning it was the defense, and they rested immediately, had no defense, and possibly because it was all taken away from them. Then they had the some questions and answers back and forth from the jury. A pool of eight lieutenant colonels and higher. It had to be higher ranked than Lieutenant Colonel Aiken. So they had a couple of questions that came back and forth in the courtroom. Some dictionaries were being passed back and forth to the jury during deliberations. And they basically came back in with a finding on the missing movement charge, correct, of guilty of missing movement. And afterwards, I don't know what the process was afterwards, why the sentencing phase, and then that was just basically they had Colonel Aiken and his attorney brought in at least, what was it, three character witnesses, or would you describe them as character witnesses? A lieutenant colonel that he had served with, XO, and Afghanistan. Pardon me? Also had some prosecuting witnesses in the afternoon. No, that was the day before. Oh, the okay. Maybe I should pass this off, but the one interesting then after that was the a man that actually served and worked with him, who was a helicopter pilot, and they had become friends. And he was from the North Pole at Christmas time. So, yeah, he did. He came in from Alaska to show his support, and the lieutenant colonel and the gentleman, the retired helicopter pilot from North Pole, they stuck around afterwards and to show their support, as we all did. Yeah. That's right, and they became friends as well as coworkers for the time that they had served together over there. Very good character witnesses. I mean, it was just amazing. I learned so much about Lieutenant Colonel Lake just by listening in to the character witnesses, what they had said about him.
And amazingly, like it's yesterday, the prosecution paid Lieutenant Colonel Lake. Personal video where he described how he and why he decided to do this, because the video on Safeguard Our Constitution, which was recorded by Paul Jensen, his first attorney, and I was quite shocked that the prosecution played that video, because it clearly points out why he did this. So,
I'm not certain if that was prosecutor played that to be a damage to Lieutenant Colonel Lake. I don't know if it did any good. It seemed like it was more helpful than damaging to the colonel's face. We sort of sat there for a couple of days waiting. It was because they had gotten into the weeds because of all the discovery had been removed, so they hadn't gotten a chance to really discuss the eligibility issue. But when they played that video, that sort of opened the doors open for some more information about why he had done what he had done. So the eligibility issue came up. That all except for one, there was one individual during the prosecution witnesses.
That introduced the evidence of ineligibility.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was never mentioned during the prosecution's time of witnesses. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think we were all in shock with the coming in this morning and expecting a big defense, and then basically the defense rests.
Right.
And we began, at least myself, began to wonder what was going on with this.
Well, I think we all agree that the judge removed all possibility of a defense, and Lieutenant Colonel Aiken and his attorneys were like fighting a rear defense to get done with the case at the minimum amount of damage to him and his family at this point, because there was no possibility of raising a rear defense because the judge had removed it.
And she also removed rather than concrete discovery and paperwork, she also said that that your conscience, your philosophy, and your religion can have no, is not a defense either. So she not only took everything away that would be objective, the black and white paper, but she also took anything away that might be subjective to why you might make choices.
Yep, and so, you know, I thought yesterday that that the defense had demolished the prosecution's case because witness after witness were unable to say that they had, that Lieutenant Colonel Reagan actually had to leave on a particular flight, U.S. Airways 1123. Yeah, he could have gone any way that he wanted to. So really, I thought the defense did a good job of basically pointing out that he did not miss movement. The other aspects of the missing movement that they tried to get at was, you know, the disruption to the unit for Harry Lincoln not showing up. And it turns out they found somebody within, you know, 20 days of, yeah, 6 days of that. So when it got to the, but when the jurors or the panel came back with four questions when they went out to deliberate on the first charge of missing movement, one of those was, what is the definition of requirement or require? So right away you get this concern, uh-oh, if they have to ask about what require means, we might be in big trouble.
Yeah, I didn't they ask what natural born citizen.
That's correct. So in any case, the jury came out and found him guilty of missing movement. Then came, you know, we're all in shock, and then came the penalty phase. And this is where the video was played. I found it offensive to have that video played, but it looked like, you know, well, it was really funny because the video played and we're all being respectful in the courtroom, and when the thing was over, we all spontaneously burst out in clapping. And, you know, somebody pointed out that, you know, Judge Lynn lost control of the courtroom at that point.
It was D-U-2. Let's put it down.
D-U-2.
You've seen him, you've heard it. And it was the most patriotic thing. I mean, sort of anybody who's ever did face the loss of liberty, the loss of your job, the loss of your freedom. It was just a beautiful thing. But we wondered, why did they do that when in the body of the court, in the whole entire proceedings, he was never allowed to utter anything about ineligibility, unlawful orders, why he might have meditated on it, went to chapel, had this conscience about it. Didn't have anything at all to do about the reason why he did disobey orders. But in the penalty phase, the prosecution felt free to bring that up, and it was just a beautiful moment.
The same prosecution who is fighting to have any evidence to state the same thing during the conviction for these charges made.
Perfect.
All of a sudden now allows that video to be shown for the penalty phase.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally didn't understand why.
It was the president on the panel against I think it was the proof that he had knew from way back then at that moment when he made that video that he wasn't going to show up. So I think that they're using that to more or less implicate him.
But they already proved that.
Right.
They wanted to embarrass
and make it a point. They're talking about his sentence now, so I think they're trying to come down as hard as they could on him.
Ridicule. I think that was a stupid move and it backfired. I viewed that video, and I said, if I was sitting in that panel of members, I now know why this man did this.
And it was a beautiful moment.
Because that video is a man speaking from his heart about the Constitution and why he did it. And if they thought it was like piling on to reconvict him again for missing movements when he's already convicted, I think that was a poor move by the government attorney.
Yeah, it was prohibited.
Those eight members of the panel now know exactly why he did this.
Extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Behind one
right.
Why he
even though he could defend himself.
So I took that as a very poor tactic by the part of the government because they didn't need to convict him anymore. He was convicted.
And it turns out that video was a very
yes, we broke out in applause because it was high quality.
Yeah.
And Lieutenant Colonel Lakin was totally on point in everything he said in that video.
Yeah. And it also established the doubt in everyone's mind, with no one to know or ascertain for certain whether or not Barack Hussein Obama II, also known as Barry Sotero, really is the true commander-in-chief.
Well, I think the New York Times had it right today. He's a usurper-in-chief.
But it established that there is a doubt in the fact as to whether or not he's eligible. And it was done right there in a military court of law.
I think that's a really significant point. I'd like to bring up a couple of things. One is that it was the prosecution witness who brought up the eligibility issue.
Christine Edwards.
Who
was a
underling of Terry. Underling of Terry Lakin. And up here of Terry Lakin. But you should have seen the prosecution guy's ears get all red, and they cut that lady off right away.
That was the condition. They didn't want to hear anything about his reason.
So then, really, the penalty phase, I also believe that was a mistake for the prosecution to do that, because it had created...
I think the officers are going to go home tonight and say, I did the correct thing under the UCMJ, and I don't know if I did the right thing for my country.
Those
people are going to think about what they did.
We've got Captain Pamela Barnett here as well, and I'd like to know what you think about what you saw today, everything.
There's some key things that I think overall it was very good for getting the truth about Obama's eligibility. And it's great that we created a historical record that will always be there in court-martial files of Terry Lakin that anybody can go reference. That this was
and
brought,
he will be vindicated.
That this was brought to bear and it was witnessed by many patriots that are top patriot constitutionalists that were there in court Terry Lakin. And like Commander Kirchner said, hopefully by the prosecution showing the video of Terry Lakin, saying that, giving his reasoning as to why he was going to not follow orders because of his military oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that hopefully the officers will think about the jurors, the panelists, I think they're called, in the court-martial, will go home tonight and think about their own oath. And take a serious, thoughtful look at what Terry Lakin did. May have not been a big
under the law, but not totally bury him and trash him like and max out the penalty. There's no need for this.
It was also established in the court of law that Terry Lakin had a duty to his oath to question this whole doubt, this whole moment of doubt. It was established, and for the record for all time, that as an officer in the Army, he was compelled to question, because the very first line of the oath is, I promise to uphold the Constitution, and then all the other words flow from there. So at least we have that established, and we also have established that there is a doubt as to who the person claims to be the commander-in-chief, who that person really is, and where is his signed birth certificate, because Lieutenant Colonel Lakin had to show his order to
deploy. Look at it this way. If I see a crime being committed down the block, the person came mug, and I step on the accelerator, go through a stop sign, and speed down there to help that woman being mugged, I just go too hard, and you can convict me. That's what they did under the UCMJ. They convicted me of two laws, but I had a higher motivation to protect that woman being mugged. He had a higher obligation to the oath of his, that he took when he first became an officer to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And Obama is a domestic enemy. He has not proven he's eligible. The question has not been answered. They have convicted Lieutenant
Lieutenant Colonel Lakin of violating laws in his attempt to get the answer to the question, to rush down the street to save our Constitution from being mugged by Obama. So he was convicted by the process of breaking the laws to achieve a higher, nobler goal.
Yeah.
And he will be forever be an American hero to me, no matter what they do to him.
Yeah.
But he did his best. I gave Lieutenant Colonel Lakin a hug today after the trial, and I said, you lived up to your oath.
Yeah.
You did the best you can.
Yeah.
We ask no more from you. You did your best. It's up to others now to stand up.
That's right. And someone else...
Sunshine Patriots need to get off their butts.
Right.
And stand up with it.
And hello, Tea Party. Hello, we are calling you.
I'm calling for a new Tea Party. We need a Tea Party, too. The original Tea Party people were constitutionalists. They've been squeezed out and co-opted by the establishment.
We're
saying you can only talk about economic issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah,
we need a Tea Party, too, on constitutional issues, where no constitutional issue is banned.
I'm with that. Now, two things I just wanted to really reinforce. I think Patty had a great point, and I think I'm going to call this my next post tomorrow morning, which is basically the doubt about Commander-in-Chief's eligibility was raised in a military court of law, and that will be there. And through this final phase, which was excruciating, I'm sure, for Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, because he gave a final statement, I think it was unsworn statement, so he couldn't be cross-examined on it. But it just became very, very clear his reasoning and his motivation.
Well, he knew he had no defense for his constitutional stand up to the Constitution.
Yep.
He knew they had convicted him of all these laws that he violated in the process of trying to stand up for the Constitution.
Right.
He had no defense left. So now his only choice was to try to stand up and protect his family and provide for them and hope that he could somehow be able to stay in the military and be a doctor and not be dismissed of being an officer and a doctor in the military. They can put him in jail. They can fine him 6 months' pay. They can bust him in rank. But he wants to stay in the military because he loves the country. He loves the Army. And basically today, that's what he told the court.
Mm-hmm.
In all humility.
And it took his punishment days to get that out, when that's been discovered on the very first day. And just to let you know, too, it wasn't just court proceedings that were going on. There was recess. And in the recess, we were swarmed. This is how he's done for Philadelphia, by the way. I want to say thank you to Maureen Dowd. I want to send her kudos for her article. Bravo, bravo. Thank you for calling me three times last night, ma'am, by Will Stewardies, to make sure that you knew everyone's ages, what a hydrologist is. We love you for advancing our cause, and we know why you did it, and you can use us all you want, Lee. You did a good job. Thank
right.
you.
Right.
Woo! One thing
from the crazy. From whatever you have to call it.
So her point is crossed for the MSM, and if we see her presence prove that the mainstream media is well aware of this issue, and that is why she was there yesterday.
Green Dowd will go down in history as a propagandist.
Now, a couple of things that everyone should know is that Lakin just didn't refuse orders. He went to Congress. He wrote to... he wrote to what's his name?
Trial court, congressional inquiry.
Yeah.
Formal inquiry. I didn't know that before.
Formal inquiries. The 130. The Article 138
right.
complaint. He wrote to Congress.
Nobody
he wrote to the president. And what got on? What got on the record? That's right. He asked everybody. Went up to Casey and everything. And what got on that record was essentially. Nobody answered that question. And another piece of this
in the Congress.
Yeah, but you
but true.
Yeah, so that is on the record, and I think that's extremely important. And you know, essentially his question could not be answered and hasn't been answered And but it went all the way through to that point so you could see. And then came the awful phase, which is, you know,
the discouraging
phase, which is basically, apparently he's going to have to fall on his sword and eat crow because his own attorney basically, you know, had to take him through the issue where he got basically to say, I realize now the Army is not the place to get this issue resolved.
But he's still doing his job for all
That's right.
Thank you, Terry Reagan. Love you.
Thank you, Terry. Because for everybody, we should have no shame at what has happened, no problem. Because, right, Terry Lakin has advanced our cause. We know we're going to get trashed and ridiculed, but he does now need to be home with his family and needs to be in the Army that he loves.
Why'd
you say their names and who they were?
John Cave and some guy, some very important person named Sullivan.
Lieutenant Colonel Sullivan.
Yeah, he always knew when to stand and when to, sit.
The ACLU lawyer from Baltimore.
Good job.
They were snickering, just awful and laughing, but the best moment of the day was the truth that Commander Kirchner basically said to this guy, what's his name, Colonel, whatever.
No. Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah.
Overheard him using the 14th Amendment to justify something about Obama's
eligibility. He said that, sir.
Yeah, but anyway, what happened was Commander Kirchner rightly accused him of being intellectually dishonest.
Yes.
And this guy got up.
Not in the 14th Amendment.
That's right.
And it has nothing to do with natural
oh, he got up and he went right in.
I was two rows away, and I interjected into the conversation, and I said, you're being intellectually dishonest. And then I don't know. He blew a fuse.
Oh, he sure did.
And you, the rest of you can just, Dr. Case, you can describe what happened, because it happened in a millisecond. He blew a fuse. He rushed through two rows of chairs, and he got in my face as this, like, Lieutenant Colonel Marine that was going to intimidate me. And he had his nose about a quarter inch from me, and he proceeded to, like, lambast me for daring to call him dishonest. I said, I didn't call you dishonest. I called you intellectually dishonest.
And you know what the outcome was?
No.
Sullivan went right back to his chief.
And he stayed right in front of my face. And you do not go eyeball to eyeball with a Mustang commander from the Navy. I don't care if you're a Marine, Lieutenant Colonel, or what. He's either going to bluff me down, sound like recruit at boot camp.
But he sat down.
I just stood my ground and looked right back at him and said to him, basically, at some point, do you believe or do you not believe that Obama, he is a natural-born citizen? He didn't answer me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're talking—again, he said, Obama, again, do you believe or do you—and I went louder the second time.
Can you handle the truth? Yeah.
I said, do you believe or do you not believe that Obama is a natural born citizen? At that point, he started to shake.
Yeah, he did.
And I could just see his knees were going to buckle. He decided to get out of there.
He did.
And ran back to his seat.
Right.
And he was shaking in his seat.
Yes, and
so that just goes to prove
that
just because you're a Lieutenant Colonel Marine Reserve, you do not go eyeball to eyeball with a Reserve Naval Commander and try to intimidate him.
Another thing that shut the guy down, when he sat down, and he was embarrassed because, he's supposed to be there on vacation as a professional. Also, he works for the government, but he's on vacation.
Yeah.
I just asked him a simple question. I said, when did Barack Hussein Obama II change his name back to Barack Hussein Obama II? And he just, looked at me. I said, on what day did Barry Shapiro come Barack Hussein Obama II again? And he just, looked at me. He was no answer.
People in that courtroom afterward told me, you know what? he could have legally been, you could legally charge him with assault.
Yeah,
he was
did.
So, he was angrily in your face.
I was watching
that. And I stood my ground, and I just faced him down. And he was so angry, and he came at me so fast, and I was totally unexpected on my part. He could have been charged with assault based on what he did, in my opinion.
And he addressed him as the military. He went military to one military man to another. He addressed you as sir, and said, you better...
I better back down.
He
commanded
you for his attention.
I bet you my number is lower than his.
And he has very nice handwriting. I read every word
so.
So here's the other opportunity we had with these Zobots, is that, and I remember right after this confrontation with Commander Kirshner and the intellectually dishonest, Patty and I happened to have a large chat, a loud chat that says, you know, these people who are intellectually dishonest are just really endangering our country.
Yes.
And, you know, we had a conversation. You and I had a conversation about, isn't this ridiculous? It's a national security issue. And, you know, we just had those conversations. Everybody
and
knows
never,
one of us.
And he never answered the question. Do you believe that he Obama the natural one?
He wants a book and try to show you a definition.
And he knew I was right.
Yep.
He doesn't believe it. He doesn't really believe it. He's being intellectually dishonest.
He looked at his court martial directory.
So I think overall, I mean, I'm charged. I'm upset. I stand absolutely with Terry Lakin. He does need to get back to his family.
Thank you for
can I say one more point?
Yeah.
And this is directed to Lieutenant Colonel Dwight Sullivan. In your blog one night, you said, who is this Commander Kirchner? Now you know.
Oh, now I want to ask you, who is your president?
His name is O'Berry.
So what we are hoping for tomorrow is really absolute leniency. That Lakin,
fairness
and leniency. I mean, he fell on his sword today. He fell on his sword today. It was really moving. I cried with the anguish of his journey. And basically, he had to admit that he was wrong. He had admitted it before. But you know, it was a moment, I think. And I only began to see clearly what was going on in the afterwards. Because
you've got to remember when he was doing that, the pictures of his family were on the wall, of his wife and two children.
Yeah.
And he did what he had to do today.
And his mom and dad were present.
To protect
the
children now, because he knew there was no longer anything more he could do.
Right. So this is the kind of questioning that his own lawyer did, and I want to just share this because it was really anguishing.
Yes.
He said, you know, your young son, your 3 month old, or the 3 year old son. You know, just think about that. They're going to be visiting you in jail, and forever they're going to have an image of their father behind plexiglass or bars. Are you proud of that, sir? I mean, that's the way it was. That was heart wrenching.
I hate to say it. I think Neil Puckett humiliated him.
Yes, on purpose.
On purpose. Because he's trying to legally get the sympathy of the panel to reduce the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated to watch that.
Yeah, the court martial was not about advancing the constitutional, all of us. It's not about us, not about not any one of us or our beliefs or what our mission is. It was about Terry Lakin and his future, his mom, his two brothers, his beautiful wife, his three lovely children. That's what today was about. That's what yesterday was about. The whole entire thing is about Terry Lakin going forward. Terry, you lay down the gauntlet, we'll pick it up. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And may all your brothers, your sisters in arms, exonerate you, pardon you, and that you remain be the soldier that you are and continue to defend us. Because we love you and thank you and thank your family for the sacrifice that you've given us.
Wow. Anyone else?
I just think it's important that everybody realizes that Terry wasn't surrendering his views about Obama not being eligible president. He did not speak to that. He was just sorry for the, what he brought upon the military because it wasn't a place to bring this in a forum like that, and that he didn't have the proper advice in the very beginning, so he made decisions based on that poor advice. So we really don't know what he went through, but he got bad advice and got had to deal with all the repercussions from that. And now Puckett, Neil Puckett, his attorney, now had to deal to the mercy of the court, basically, by having, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, you know, be sorry and, humiliated. It was really painful. It was sad. But it had to be done so that he could, you know, could get the leniency of the...
Neil Puckett's job and his client. And he did an excellent job. The strategy was brilliant. And it's all about Terry Lakin and his freedom to exist. Not, you know, and I don't think that Terry wants to be a martyr. I don't think that's true at all. The only thing I met Terry back in September, and we had dinner. There was a few of us who had dinner. I got to meet him. The reason why he actually pursued this was not about attention, not about a show or anything that Commander Roberts said, the one that the guy with the letter of honor. It was not about that at all. It was about the examination of the very first sentence of his oath to defend the Constitution. That's what it's about. It's not about any of us. It's not about attention. If anybody knows Terry Lakin, he cannot even deal with attention at all. He's so humble.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can't even, you know, speak, you know, about himself. He was examining his oath, and the oath really wasn't about me deploying today and, like, whether I get the full table or not. It was about when I'm on the battlefield, what orders do I obey? That it was really not about, you know, what
he really said he felt uncomfortable. It really bothered him that he didn't have, you know, who his commander in chief is. So he just felt he needed to know, and this is where
prior to the battlefield.
Right, because that issue would not be raised on the battlefield, and
right.
That would mean that the duty as a soldier on an issue like this is to raise it in a forum, in the best forum to result in least disruption. So,
he did everything he
could.
Right.
And
they
ignored
him.
He talked all the United States American Army and all the armed forces, but he also has to be well aware of what the repercussions could be in the long run insofar as this global world that we're progressing towards, and the Geneva Convention and the rule of law internationally as the orders that you follow and you have to know is, are they valid, are they lawful? Not presumed lawful, as Denise Lynn said at least a dozen times, presumed lawful orders. We just need to know, are they lawful orders, not
lawful,
are they presumed.
Or not. So you look at this situation, again, I want to emphasize, he did not give up or say that he was wrong to ask the question. So right now we have in a military court of law, the issue of Obama's eligibility has been raised and there's considerable doubt. No one in the Army answered that question for him. That's very clear. No one could.
The Army had to ask, what does the word require mean? When we're talking
yep.
about a simple English word, and they're in, and then
right.
yes,
right.
a military court of law as a civilian, their definitions of things don't mean the same to me. But here we are, smack dab in the middle, presenting a case and getting ready to sentence a person, and they want to know, what does the word require mean? That in itself told us that they were going to dismiss the minor charge of missing movement, which was that claim, Christine Edwards, that claim, as opposed to, did he really miss movement insofar as deploying to the site of a theater of war? And
who is the cause of all this? Obama.
Barack Obama.
Sitting down there in Washington, D.C., while the military has these questions, we have these questions, Congress is doing nothing, the judiciary has done nothing, the executive branch prior to Obama getting there did nothing. The mainstream media is still the biggest offender here because they will not answer, they will not investigate the questions, just the people standing up.
But the New York Times proved plus that they are well aware and are flattening the blackout on it. The Maureen Dowd would not have come to Fort Meade yesterday just for gossip.
Right.
So,
instead of asking us questions, Maureen Dowd should be down at the White House asking Obama questions.
Absolutely. And how old he is and what's his birthday.
So this, I think we have, you know, this is good to have this discussion that we're having tonight. And I just wanted to also just emphasize, we have, Perry Lakin has made his point, he's helped advance our stuff, and now it's time for him to heal, repair, do that, and we're really praying for that. But again, I think the military has been put on trial here. I think all of those people in that room,
quote-unquote.
He was convicted of laws made for the military, by the military, to enforce order, good order.
Yep.
He did not get justice under the Constitution.
Nope.
He was right on constitutional law. The higher law, the fundamental law of our country, the Constitution, he did everything right.
Yep.
Support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help me God. He lived up to that oath. He can do no more. He's been convicted of the charges of driving too fast, going through the stop sign to save that person being mugged. He's found guilty of all those charges, but he still did a noble thing for this country. And he will be remembered in history as an American hero. He will be vindicated. He will get a presidential pardon someday. His whole military conviction will be expunged from the record.
Yep.
And I believe that someday somebody will nominate him for the Medal of Freedom.
Isn't it ironic? Just think about this for one split second. Don't even raise your head or let it run space in your head. Isn't it ironic that an officer in the armed forces, an army officer, has to maintain an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, but yet he's in the court of a military courtroom that is not the forum to discuss the Constitution or what the Constitution means.
Okay.
Ain't that ironic?
What that proves, I actually wrote in an article on my blog, unlawfulpresident.com, that says from this trial, we would find out if whether or not the Army is run by the corporate America or if the Army is a constitutional army. Today is proven that it is not a constitutional army. This is a corporate military police force. We're no longer a constitutional military.
That's why we have members and not a jury.
Yes, we have members.
The members of the government has members that will sit and judge you.
Well, I have to speak up here. That those members of that court martial were restricted on what they could do by
that's
the court orders of the judge. They were limited to the laws of the military created by our system of government. They were not allowed to look at the constitutional issue. They were never given the opportunity to say, you are the jury. Do you think this man stood up for the Constitution as a reason for doing this? They were not allowed to consider that.
Even though the issue is the crux of the matter and the mission and the reason why.
The government piled on Lieutenant Colonel Lakin. They piled on and tried to convict him of everything they could find in the UCANJ that he could be charged with. My analogy, seeing a person being mugged, running to a stop sign, speeding to get there, and on the way, I also ran over the curb and parked at a yellow line to get out of my car. So now he charged me with four things. That's what the government did today. They piled on, that's what they did the last 2 days, to convict him of every possible thing they could find.
If you're a burka, then it would be true file.
That's the point, too. The court made a point of calling us burkers.
Yes, that's correct.
Why didn't they call the
crazy
people opposed to this anti-burkers?
Yeah.
We get a label.
Now, just
here's more. In the,
there
was a question yesterday.
The government attorneys called these burkers.
Yeah, during the question of the pounds, which is where they were talking.
Yeah. Puckett also said that.
Yeah, I'm not real crazy about what happened. He did.
Okay, a couple of things you may have heard. Reverend Manning was detained for trespassing. And it was just exactly like this court martial, because apparently somebody supposedly told Reverend Manning that he was supposed to come in one gate, and instead he came in the other gate. But Reverend Manning doesn't recall anybody telling him anything. So was it that plan, or was it that gate?
The gate guard left him in, so that's not trespassing.
Yeah, right. So anyway, it was harassment. But, you know, I said this to Reverend Manning, and he said, well, I can't say this, but I'm glad you did. And I said, yeah, take the only three black guys in the room and haul them out, you know, with
well,
the police cars and
things.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
Dave and I came in the wrong way this morning, too.
Yeah, we did.
Why didn't we get trespassing?
Yeah, we were.
And there was a car behind us with three ladies in it that I asked the guard that there was me. They don't have military IDs. Would you let them come in, because they don't know how to go around to the other gate? And they said, okay, I'll take care of it. Now, why didn't they charge them with trespassing? They singled out Reverend Manning, and I believe for the following reason. He was visited by the Secret Service and Homeland Security. They have that man marked. He traveled with a cell phone. They knew he was there. They're probably tracking that man.
Yeah.
And they singled him out for being on that base. They probably came in the gate he shouldn't have come in, didn't have a visitor's pass, but he got waved in. And they decided to make an example out of him.
Mm-hmm.
They dragged him out of that court like he was being arrested.
He was the most respectful participant spectator in the whole entire court. Whether it was media, spectator, a lunatic, birther, even a family member of the accused, he was the most gentlemanlike, most quiet person, even though he was
present.
Regarding Reverend Manning, that he came in the gate without a pass, I guess. Is that what it was?
He came in a non-visitor's gate. He had to go to a certain gate if you're a visitor. He came through a gate not designated for visitors, and they said, okay, well, let's just go through, because he was going to court martial.
Which we did at 1 o'clock in the morning the other day.
Well, who knows? I mean, the way things are, maybe they probably ran his number, his license plate number, came up under his.
He's a
hard
man in their system.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe they purposefully let him in.
Then
he showed up to that gate, and they let him in instead of saying,
oh,
go down to the other gate.
So, I mean, there was also a camera in the room, and I noticed that the defense witness from the North Pole, right, you know, it's dangerous. Well, basically what, you know, the prosecution just kept saying, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you think that, you know, what's your opinion of the commander in chief? And so anyway, after that, he basically said the question needs to be answered. Everybody in this country needs to know this, and that's just the way it is.
That witness ate the government attorney lunch.
Pretty much it. But, you know, after we were given a chance to visit with him and thank him and so forth, and put my hand on his back, and I said, yeah, now we've got your back, too. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, yes, it's a big machine. So, you know, there was a lot going on. We are all marked here. This is not over for sure. We're going to be ridiculed. But we made an important Terry Lakin has done something really important for us. Now we need to support him in his, you know, his healing and getting back to his family. And then now we need to pick up the
You also got to let him know that in the end, you couldn't offer a proper defense, and he had to do what he had to do on advice of the counsel, and that we support his decision. That we know he did his best to support the Constitution. That's my example. I took it to the Supreme Court. There's nothing more I can do. Okay, he went to court martial. There's nothing more he can do. He did his best.
He
doesn't have to do any more. He proved himself.
Yes, he did. He did what he said he would do.
Real
now
patriot.
It's time.
Right.
Time to let him be free. It's time to get him pardoned and exonerated and get back with his mom and dad. He brought him into this world. Now, what do we do next? Here's the thing that we know. Okay, the court system is corrupt. We can't go there. the military, corrupt, presuming everything.
Congress.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say, I did ask one of the guys in there, because they're saying President Obama's order, you know, the president's orders are presumed legal.
Right.
So I would say, gee, if you are out in the field as a military officer, do you presume the army's behind that door, or the enemy's behind that door, or do you presume that they're behind that door? And how do you find out? So,
Congress, they didn't listen.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, we now know the courts did, the military did.
Congress
is pretty much not going to do anything.
The mainstream media.
The mainstream media. So what is our next step? I think it is sitting down with Congress and moving it. But I'm not sure.
Our next step for the immediate short term. We have to wait to see the facts of how that resolves itself, what the media does or does not say about it. But beyond that, I think our next move will have to wait until the new Congress is seated and see what they're going to do, and hope that somebody in that new Congress has a set of those male, what you call it, to actually conduct
the congressional. Oh, very important.
Okay. I stand corrected. I'm surrounded by all these females. I stand corrected. But that they conduct a Senate judiciary investigation with full subpoena powers, like they did for John McCain. For Obama now, too late.
Better than ever.
That
fact is on record in the judicial, in the military. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. That's on record that McCain was by Clinton and Barack Obama.
But also in the case today, it was put on record that McCain also had eligibility problems for the same reason.
And the candidates are the people that sponsored that.
What unfortunately wasn't said was they should have read who was present at that Senate resolution.
Yes.
That's what they should have read.
And
they should have saved the best for last, that Barack Obama sat on the committee that judged the eligibility of John McCain.
Right.
And no one, including the Republicans on that committee, looked into anything about the eligibility of Barack Obama.
Despite the fact that maybe 2,000 people wrote about it. John McCain, natural born citizen, and 500,000 petitions were submitted by WND, World Net Daily, alone, questioning the eligibility of Barack Obama. They ignored 500,000 and investigated a few thousand.
I just wanted to let everybody know, too, that we also have somebody here that is very distinguished, in my mind anyway, and you might remember this gentleman, Rudy Gator from Texas. There was a YouTube back a little while ago when this gentleman...
Up against the wall. Spread him.
And his friend just happened
to
have a Palin event in Texas, and it was a paid event. And actually, it was like you had a hard time to get in there. And here's this guy, this plain old joke-mouthing Rudy Davis, who comes in with Lake and Choir out of clear blue sky. And he's very gentleman-like person from my recollection. And he's actually asking people, would you like to have a flyer? Would you like to have a flyer? Before you know it, this really cool lady, really chic, she comes up and says, you can't do that here. You cannot do that here. Then the video goes right out to the front of the theater, and here's a man being arrested, his wallet taken from him, from my memory, and this is Rudy Davis, and he is here tonight. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Questions. Thank you very much.
He was arrested. They
handcuffed me and ejected me from the theater. I was, I didn't give up my freedom of speech when you go into a theater. When you go into a theater, you're allowed to speak to people and ask them if they will take a flyer from you. So it's amazing that the efforts people will go to stop getting the truth out about the birth certificate issue and Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin.
What was the content of the flyer?
It was from the Patriot Foundation, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin's website. And so I had printed out, I'd actually bought a printer and a toner cartridge. And, so that when the lady tried to take the 150 flyers away from me, that was like a $150 investment. And I had an immediate reaction, like, those flyers aren't yours, ma'am, but they just could not handle the truth. And when they did send the police squad over to eject me and handcuff me from the theater, I started announcing to all of the patrons in the theater as loudly as I could and in the loudest voice I could that they need to check into Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin and safeguard our Constitution and, you know, stand up for constitutional values and what is going on in America. It's just absolutely incredible. You know, and the other quick point I'll add, I know that sounds like I'm surrounded by lawyers and people that are very intimately about hydrologists.
But,
55 years
old. That's right. Passionate people. But the quick point that sticks in my mind, and I'll just make it quickly, and that is that, of course, he doesn't meet the natural born citizenship requirements as stated in the Constitution because both of his parents were not American citizens. But in addition to that, on top of that even, all of this trials and tribulations, all of the problems going, you know, with this particular issue could have been avoided if he would have called the Hawaiian Health Department and released a $20 birth certificate. I would ask anyone listening, ask yourself why a decent human being wouldn't make that phone call to have stopped Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin from spending time in prison away from his family, away from his loved ones. It just boggles the mind, and I can't imagine. And
when you want to talk about you relinquish a certain amount of your privacy.
Yes.
The public has a right to know.
Yes.
And a man is going to be sent to prison
right. Because
the public doesn't have the right to know to see a certified proof of a copy of the university.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
I would gladly show it to you to stop man from doing it.
I wore mine on my forehead.
Amen, sister.
But here's another thing before I introduce Teresa.
Oh, yes.
For you to speak. Thank you, Rudy. Mm-hmm. I just lost it. Better go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, she did.
Hey, friends. Yay. Great to be with you this evening. And first of all, I wanted to, you know, share with the team here, you know, the true patriots, the true constitutionalists. And how many of us were there to support Lieutenant Colonel Lakin?
The room was standing room only the first day, and today there's probably about 50 there, I would think, the total of which there were a few robots, but I would say they were outnumbered about 10 to 1.
They're popular Dr. Case today.
The truth is not a popularity contest. The truth is not a popularity contest, but we will get the word out, and you cannot stop the truth. You cannot stop the truth.
The truth shall be.
Thank
Amen.
You, Maureen.
Amen.
The truth shall be revealed. You're cute. You're cuter than your character. The old morning Joe with Mika.
Yeah, but when we minus the family and minus, you know, the military, I heard somebody say that. But in total, how many were you know, about maybe 20 max?
The second day, maybe 20 or 30.
Yeah. Okay, let's say 20 or 30 out of how many millions of Americans?
Right.
But
we have
right?
to remember the media has kept a cone of silence on this condition.
Absolutely.
Not only a cone of silence, but you're actually ridiculed. It's more than just being silent
That's
about
right.
something. If you come out and speak for Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, or you speak
you're
up for Obama, you are a lunatic. You are crazy.
Probably 150 million people have questions about
yeah.
You're a
monster.
That's a big cringe.
Here's another thing.
Here's another piece. If you were accused of not being an American, what would you do? I pull out my everything I have to figure out. I'm an American.
Attorney, I think, given Judge Lynn's orders and the way she circumscribed the process, I mean, there was really nowhere to go in terms of the defense.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, he, I guess he tried to do the best he could.
I mean,
basically, I think his attorney did the best he could do, given the circumstances. It was difficult to watch Terry Lakin in that position of really, I mean, basically saying that he shouldn't have done what he did to a large extent, and it was difficult to watch. I understand why he felt that way. I mean, practically speaking, the reality is that was not the, practically speaking, theoretically maybe it made sense for him to be in that form, but practically speaking, it was never going to happen, and right from the beginning, they were not going to let the truth come out because of the chain of command and because of whatever other agendas they may have had, but they were restricting the truth from coming out. Well, to some extent it did. To some extent it did. And I don't know if anybody realized it, but I was standing up on the side of the room where the video camera was, and from what I saw, the camera was not pointed on the witness stand where Terry was, number one. Number two, I think the camera was off.
That's right.
You know, so
yesterday,
I talked to the artist. I said, why are you here? He said, they had an artist in the court. I said, why are you here today? And yesterday, she said, because, well, I said, I called up. Yes, and because they didn't allow cameras. And I said, well, there's a video camera where they're recording the whole thing. She says, no, it's not turned on. There's no tape in the camera.
I left it because you had gold in there on the tape.
So whatever they were doing with the camera, it wasn't recording anything.
No, it looked like it wasn't. It looked like it wasn't even turned on.
Yesterday, Judge Flynn told us that the body of spectators and participants were filed, that there was going to be cameras and they were going to be closed circuit into another state so that other people into the parties could watch. And she also disclosed that the only people that would be on camera would be herself, the prosecution, and the witnesses. So she did disclose that yesterday. So maybe that was a smoke screen to make us believe or to think that there was others that were watching, but she didn't disclose. And there was a camera present, whether it was on or not. It was meant to let us know that there was a camera present, and she did enter that into the record.
So let's have some final round of thoughts from everyone. Quickly. Yes.
A quick final thought regarding Terry Lakin. And I told my friend this before we entered the court. If Terry Lakin, no matter what he did in court, the man has already carried the ball and done more for the birther movement, more so than anyone else in America.
Thank you.
And so I hold him in the highest regard. I pray for him. I pray for his family through the tough trials and tribulations that they're going through. And so if Terry Lakin doesn't do a single thing regarding the birth certificate issue and going forward, he's done more than everybody else in America.
Thank you. Here, here. Yes, thank you. Big round of applause. Anyone else? I want to say it's just been a pleasure being with everyone here. Now after we finish the show, we're going to figure out what's next. In fact, why don't you give some ideas. Let's do a round of ideas, okay? Anyway,
I personally think we need to think a while before we go on the record with any new ideas.
Uh-huh.
We need to think and evaluate and plan, and not just make decisions tonight. We don't even have the sentencing done yet with Lieutenant Colonel Lakin.
Right,
so let's not on a public radio here say this is what we're going to do next. That's my recommendation. That's my position.
I agree.
I was just
going to
ask, like, what bar we're
going to. Well, I'll say this. This question is not going away. It is not going away. Obama, your time in the White House, the days are numbered.
And it's been established in the military court today that there is a doubt as to whom you are and what you're about. And we know you're not about us. But thank you for that flyover over Manhattan. And thank you for bowing to the Saudi king because you showed us everything we need to know about you and that wench you're married to.
Obama, I suggest that you get a copy of the New York Times and get Maureen Dowd's article today and get it laminated. Usurper in chief, ? We know it should be an explanation.
Oh, I kissed her mask. Okay, anyone have any final thoughts? Yes, final thoughts, anyone?
I do. Well, I think Kate had a really good idea about doing something during the State of the Union. That would be a very good time if we're going to go to Washington and make a statement, interrupt or whatever, State of the Union.
my friends. I did officially introduce myself, TC from DC, and with all of my new buddy pals here with me. But anyways, this has been my idea, and this is so cool. I get the chance to share with all our friends online throughout the world. Now, just if I could just in summary share that the true war, okay, that we are fighting is not a natural war. Okay, if I can speak to France in this matter, because what we saw during the Sarah Lincoln trial, okay, it doesn't just involve a physical war in that this is a war against you know, us the people, we the people of America, we the people even of the world, if I could say that. But this warfare that we are fighting, okay, is truly, and we must understand that this is spiritual warfare.
Amen, sister.
That we are involved in.
Yes, it is.
That's the bottom line. It is good against evil. It is
righteousness against evil.
The world will say there is no right and there is no wrong, but there is a right and there is a wrong.
Absolutely.
There is the truth. And it's
yes.
Really about looking for the. This is about the truth.
Yes, it's a war. I call it. It's a war. How do I put it? It's a war on.
War on the truth.
Yeah, if I can make this compare, and everybody is right on, and it's really a war of truth versus lies, right? It's a war of good versus evil. And the bottom line is it's a war of God, the Almighty God, creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in them, creator of all of humanity. It is ultimately a war between God and Satan, the
Amen.
Father of lies, okay? The enemy of humanity. So when we understand and see beyond the natural world that we are literally witnessing the new world order, and we can all attest to what's happening, the evil entity of the spirit of the Antichrist, okay? And we, as believers of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, our Creator God, the God of Israel, that we need to understand that this war, and how can we win this war? Because this is what we, I believe, as humanity need to understand, that the only way that we can win this fight against evil, against the lies, deception, arguments, and pretensions is only possible through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, because all of us, even the people of, even like the New World Order folks, okay, and all of this evil entity that we see that word, the spirit, the Antichrist, that wants to remove God, that wants to remove Christ from this world, and this is what ultimately this war is about, and that when we understand this, how do we win this warfare? This warfare is won only because all of us are on a level field, even along with even those so-called, quote, wicked entities called the New World Order. But every single one of us, bottom line, we can have victory in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, only through his amazing sacrifice, his amazing holy blood and holy body sacrifice. Obama needs Jesus. The New World Order needs Jesus. Every single one of us needs the holy blood of Jesus in order for us, really ultimately, I hope I'm not too serious here, but I thank you, Kate, and thank you, everyone. you know, because really, I mean, this, we have to think of the eternal perspective of why God created us for this moment, okay? And we are literally on the front line.
God called each of us to do what we're doing.
In our lives today, we grew up with them. And here they are today. And the Weather Underground, the Chicago Machine, is the New World Order. And we are the extras in the effort against the New World Order.
No, not extras at all. No, absolutely.
We treat it as extras.
Yes.
Like, hell.
Yes.
Okay. As a Christian, when I'm faced with an insult, I will turn the other cheek. But when faced with evil, I will fight it.
And how do we fight this? How do we fight this warfare? And please share. I mean, everyone, how do we fight this warfare?
No, I would just offer that, you know, America became the most prosperous, blessed nation on earth, a shining light on a hill, because we had godly biblical principles. We were founded on Christian ethics and biblical ethics, and we've fallen away from that, and we're seeing the consequences of falling away by taking and removing every aspect of God from our society, from our schools, from our government, from our courtroom. And when that has happened, we're going to see a manifestation of evil in America, the likes of which we cannot even begin to imagine. And we need to begin to work together as a people to reinstate God in our just day-to-day activities as Americans, in our courtrooms, in our government, in our schools, in our education systems. Absolutely. And
you know what the most exciting book
the Holy Bible.
There
you go. There you go.
And all the discussions and all the conventions and all the journal minutes, the Bible is the most cited book.
One thought I would put out there, and I
go right to the Bible. I cannot tell you the exact verse. It's Deuteronomy. I think it's 17:15 or 15:17. It says, "Thou shalt not choose a king or a prince from, you shall choose him from your own brothers, not a foreigner."
Do not appoint a foreigner over you.
That's who wrote this.
That's
right. That's a foreign citizen.
That's right. That's right.
Obama is a foreigner. He was born a foreigner of a foreign father.
That's
right. The Bible itself tells us we should not choose a king from, we shall choose him from our brothers, not from a foreigner.
That's right.
He was anointed by Phil Ayers and his wife, Bernadine Dorn. God bless you.
Okay.
Well, I got one last thought. That's I'm sorry. Yes. The last thought I would like to inject, and for all the Christians out there listening to this, and they have to make a decision as to whether fighting the New World Order is a righteous use of their time and their effort. I would just add that, you know, I would ask you to ask yourself this question: how can you be effective for God and the kingdom of God if you refuse to learn what's going on in the world, if you continue to turn a blind eye to the happenings of the world? How can you be effective for God and the kingdom of God? And there's so many Christians that call themselves Christians, but they refuse to take an active part in fighting the New World Order, in fighting for truth, even fighting for the birth certificate issue and for standing up for biblical ethics. And I would just ask you to ask yourself, how can you be effective for God?
The day of the sunshine patriot is over.
Yes.
We need to we need to all stand to be counted, like Lieutenant Colonel Lakin did.
We need to be all stopped, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, and to follow up. Yes, and to follow up on what Rudy said.
That was pretty hard to follow. Rudy, you're positive. You should be a preacher.
I don't have the ability to
speak. Yeah, exactly. And as a matter of fact, Sir Bill over here earlier mentioned my nickname for Bill. Billy Boy. Okay. And anyway, the church as we know it in Western culture in America, friends, has been so irrelevant, okay? And that is the truth.
Okay.
Society. We're more worried about that the flat screen TV is going to work on Sunday for the football game.
Exactly.
And we are seeing our whole culture and our whole constitution and our republic being destroyed around us.
That's right.
We've got to wake up.
Yes.
up.
Okay, wait, I'm about to wrap. Because the church, the preachers haven't preached to the body of Christ the reality of what's taking place, this new world order system, the spirit of the Antichrist, that is at work. That's why the church, as we know it, is no longer relevant in society.
Our mainstream churches have been corrupted.
Exactly.
Look at them. They're encouraging homosexuality.
Exactly.
They've been corrupted, just like the Congress, all the institutions, the halls of academics.
Yes.
Anything goes. You know, just feel good. No right and wrong.
It used to be that a preacher, if he saw a congressman commit whoredom and go out with a whore,
look at Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Right.
Revolutionary theology.
Right. Okay.
You know,
so,
collective salvation. God doesn't save you one at a time. You know, the group, he saves yourself one at a time by you expressing your own personal faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay.
You don't get collective salvation. You yourself make your personal relationship with God.
Absolutely. And for us who have made, and us here personally, right, who have made a commitment to Jesus, to Yeshua HaMashiach, okay, but at the same time, we see this great darkness over, and it says it in Isaiah, I don't know exactly where, but a great darkness over the people and even greater darkness over the nations, okay?
Like a thunderstorm rolling towards you across the
Exactly. The solution, I believe, for all of us who have been given the revelation, the wisdom, the light, the grace of God, as I believe the key for our Yeshua's victory for all of humanity, as we unite in our focus of our worship. I mean, our number one focus needs to be our honor and worship and glorifying Yeshua HaMashiach for what he has done, because he has already won the victory for all of humanity. The promise in Revelation 12:11 declares, we overcame. I mean, it says they, but let's personalize this, right? That we overcame him. And who is this him? It's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we will not love our laws, it says in the latter part, until the death. And so, because we already know that we have the victory as we unite in worship, as we unite in the promises of God, just like the first church in Pentecost, before the revival fire and God's presence was poured out, Dr. Kate, the first church united in one mind, okay, in unity, in worship of Yeshua HaMashiach, and to honor him for all he has done. He sacrificed everything, soul, spirit, and body. He took all of hell, literally, and straight into the pit of hell. He shed his blood, because there is resurrection life and resurrection power only in the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. So as we honor his holy sacrifice and his holy blood in unity, and that's exactly what the first church did, okay, and that's when God manifested power, literal holy resurrection power, the fire of God, the holy presence of God, came upon the apostles, and and only through the Holy Spirit outpouring upon the apostles, upon us, will we begin to function in signs, miracles, and wonders, just as Jesus wants. That we are supposed to follow that example, and we're going to see the signs, miracles, and wonders that will turn people back to God. Do you agree? And your thoughts?
Our job is to be carrying the message. We carry the message of goodness. We're here to carry the goodness of fairness, of light, and to recognize that there is a message, and it's all about just being living in peace, living in freedom, having the ability to live and let live. It's a message. It's so simple.
But the message, we can do all that only possible through the holy blood of Yeshua. We have no victory, no shalom, no healing, no wholeness, no completeness, no healing soul, spirit, and body without the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so that's why we are all across the board, you know, on the same leveling ground, okay, I mean, a different stage of spiritual life, right? But ultimately, this is what a revelation that the Lord made, and that's why I believe we all can just in, for us who have received the revelation of Yeshua, we can worship Jesus together, okay? And in this, God's presence will come upon our nation because we are together inviting God's presence. And when God's presence comes upon our nation, you know what happens? The evil spirit of lies and deception, arguments and pretense, it has to flee. It must flee. All of hell must flee in the presence of God. All. And so, how do we achieve this then, ultimately? If you understand why you said it, you can. What did I just say, Lucy?
All hell must flee in the presence of God.
And how do we how do we bring forth God's
yeah,
presence
we wrap
in
unity?
One more minute.
Wait, no, we've got to wrap it up now.
Right.
But,
what did I just say, Dr. Doctor?
Well, you said a lot, but but what I want to point out is that all of us, when we are gathering on the Constitution and these issues, we are united in God. God always comes into this discussion when we're here. We may be talking about eligibility.
True. And that's what
that's
we
correct.
See.
That's correct.
Yep. About
so
the eligibility.
That's right.
True.
So this moment, as you just said, we are all here because of this and because it is a bigger battle. So I completely agree with you. And I want to just say, because we've got to wrap this up, we've got friends going this evening, but what a terrific opportunity for all of us that we're going to see each other again. And, you know, I just absolutely agree. We are fighting a spiritual battle here.
We are. We recognize there's a single tail of much
respect. That's correct. That's correct.
We know who it is.
And we're all going to fight in our own individual ways together. We're going to defeat this evil.
And it's not just about Obama, but way
beyond.
George Soros. It's not just, it's talking about George Soros, way beyond Obama.
My name is Tommy Alfrey. I'm here with Rudy Davis. We're out of Dallas, Texas. I'm also known as the Texas Deacon. There's something that I keep in mind that I tell people sometimes when we're fighting an uphill battle like we're fighting now. Michelangelo's David, which I think is in the Sistine Chapel, most people consider the world's most perfect, beautiful statue ever done. When Michelangelo did that, he didn't do it all one day. He did it a few grains at a time with a chisel, a few at a time. He just kept on persistent, knowing what the goal would be. That's the only thing we can do. To keep gaining ground, sometimes it's going to be a few grains of sand at a time.
Yep.
But we have got to continue and recruit others, even though recruiting is extremely difficult. We do make headway that way, and we just got to keep on doing what we've been doing, and we will win. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yay, Jesus!
Yes.
Yeshua.
Please join Revolution Radio tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. And we thank you very much for joining us this evening. Take it easy.
Lay your body.